Hallelujah. Hey, I got quiet quickly. How's everybody today? Are you blessed and highly flavored? Praise God. God is good all the time. Amen. What a blessing. Now it's his time to start ripping people out of the enemy's hand. Amen. That's what we're trained for. Amen. Isn't that what it's about? There should become a time when we are no longer a debit, but a credit. And it takes a price. We must be willing to pay the price at all costs. We must be willing to endure. And when we get beat up and get thrown down, we're willing to get up and continue to go forward no matter what. Because there's a fight going on. It's a spiritual fight. You know, if there was an organ in me and you that could take out, that could be taken out to stop this fight, you know, everybody be removed that organ. Same thing with addiction. In addiction, anything. People don't realize that addiction is multiple things. Addiction's emotional attachments. People are addicted to their cars, to their work, to their spouses, to their children. They're addicted to so many things, it's ridiculous. And they're not cut free, loosed, to be willing to do whatever it takes. But addiction works in multiple ways. But if there was an organ in us that could be removed, many people would do it. They'd go have surgery. But it's not, because it's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. And as long as the enemy can convince you that it is physical and not spiritual, you will be in bondage. And bondage is a terrible place to be. Would you grab your swords this morning, please? Hallelujah. And grab and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We have many Bibles here, I believe. So if you need a Bible, somebody will give you one. Russ will hand you one. Is it warm in here or what? Whew. Yeah, that's what I like to hear. Guess it's as low as it goes. We need to change that. Anybody bring your ice skates? Whew, God. Are you guys hot? That's what happens when you don't worship enough. Hallelujah. You can turn it off anytime you want. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. How many of y'all, lift your hands and get a drink, man, because I'm getting drunk right now. I'm telling you, the Spirit is just beginning to fall. Yes, we want to be drunk in the Spirit. The Bible says, be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you see things differently. You hear things differently. Why? Because you are attached to the other side now. But other than that, if when you're not filled with the Spirit, you're more concerned about you and everything that's here. But when you're filled with the Spirit of God, man, that's all you care about is what's going on. You're homebound. Always homebound. Amen? Not worldly bound, homebound. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 9. Would you read it with me, please? For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Everyone say, I'm God's building. According, is everybody there? According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. So you better be careful. Just because you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, now it's time to build. And as we're building, we got to be careful what we build with, because the enemy likes to hand you something to build with, and you don't even know it. And you begin building on something that God hasn't told you to. The worst thing that you can be is successful in a wrong assignment. That's the worst thing that can happen to you. And you stand before the Lord and go, man, I did all this stuff. He goes, it wasn't for me. You did it. I didn't. Hallelujah. Verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone build or lay than that which is laid with, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, everyone's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the what? Temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple we are. We are. Now, there's this area where we are actually a spiritual house. We are a dwelling place of the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. And even though that presence is there, many don't tap into it. They're tapping into the presence of evil instead of the presence of God. What you serve, you become a slave to. You serve yourself, you become a slave. See, there's a difference. One of the things God is trying to raise up is individuals that are faithful and loyal. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for faithful and loyal. But there's got to be something that must occur. We must have zeal for the house of God. There must be a desire to be in his presence. There must be a thirst and hunger. Those who thirst and hunger for righteousness shall be filled. See, there's a lot of good people. I mean, all over, there's wonderful good people. Unfortunately, they're going to hell. You mean good people go to hell? Yes. Why? Because only the righteous go to heaven. The good don't make it in. See, because the good is always relying on, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. See, they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They don't eat from the tree of life, which is righteousness. Righteousness is produced by eating from the tree of life. Death is produced by eating from the tree of good and evil. So when people try to justify that they're good, in the eyes of God, they're not. That's why Jesus said, he who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood shall live eternal life. Why? Because we're feeding from him. We're eating his word and drinking his spirit. Being changed from glory to glory. Glory to glory. We are God's building, a temple. We are a spiritual house. The word tells us in 127, Psalm 127, you don't have to go there. In verse 1 it says, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. And there is much vanity building. Things are all decked up, but inside there's wretchedness. There's rebellion. There's addiction. There's perversion. You can dress them up, but you can't take them out, right? You got to cast them out. In John chapter 2, do y'all come for the truth? I love truth. Man, I love truth. And because I love him, because he's truth. He's the ultimate truth of all things. John chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? John 2 verse 13, I believe it is. It says, now when the Passover of the Jews was at hand and Jesus went to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple, the spiritual house, those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, and the money changers doing business. Sometimes individuals' life is nothing but business, worldly business, when God says, I want you to be about my business. And when he had made a whip of cords, hello, yeah, this is Jesus. He made a whip. He drove them all out. It didn't say he hit anyone. Hello. I think they thought, wow, man, this guy's got some moxie making a whip here. Who is this dude? In the temple of God while I'm over here selling my dope? While I'm over here doing this? While I'm over here boozing, using, partying, and fornicating? What's he doing in my temple? See, he showed up unexpectedly. And so he made a whip of cords. He drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. Let me tell you, when you come to Jesus, you can expect your tables to be overturned. If you're not willing to get your tables overturned, you run. And you run back right into the hands of the devil, and he prepares your table all over again. Come on, let's get this back in order. And you go back into the vicious cycle of deception. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. And many people are making the temple of God a house of merchandise instead of a house of prayer, a house of healing, a house of righteousness. What does the word say? Who can enter my presence but he who has a pure heart and clean hands? Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Zeal for the house has eaten me up. Do you have zeal for the house of God, of the temple and the house of God? Let me share something with you, that when this temple is off, you're off here. That is a fruit of it. Watch this. I'd like to go there. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 12 for a second. Matthew 12. Is everybody there in verse 25? Now you got to remember, Jesus walked on both realms. Even though he was on this side, he was walking on the other side at the same time. That's why he said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. In verse 25, it says, then Jesus knew their thoughts. How many of y'all know demons know your thoughts? The devil knows what you think. That's why, did you ever talk to yourself and it was perverse? Who do you think's talking to you? Hello? And Jesus knew their thoughts. Every kingdom divided against itself is what? Brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself will not what? Stand. It won't stand. Now he explains and he says, look it. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? Why? He's associating with the division of the house by the powers of darkness. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. Now I want to explain this to you, because a house divided won't stand. If your house is divided here, it shows here. Does everybody get this? If your house is divided, I want to talk about some of the signs of a house divided. If your house is divided in you by these spirits, because it talks about, let's go a little further. Go to verse 43. It says, when an unclean spirit, what's an unclean spirit? And don't tell me your mother-in-law, your brother-in-law, your sister-in-law. It's a demon. It's an unclean spirit. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, see, they travel through people. And if they are allowed, let me tell you, when they travel through a person, if they find a place to stay, they will. They use humans to get fed. How do they get fed? By emotion. That's why it's called a spirit of fear, a spirit of addiction, a spirit of perversion, a lying spirit. Why? Because they get fed. These are real. They're not aliens, although many people think them are. They are. Aliens are nothing but demons with technology. They're there. Oh, there are UFOs. They're there. But those are demons, fallen angels with technology. Why? Because the ruler of this earth is who? Satan. Well, isn't he behind all technology? Yes. He's got people in the matrix and deceived and blinded. It's incredible how stupid people are. It's incredible how lost they are. And God is trying to awake so much. That's why judgment comes. That's why all kinds of things happen. To awaken people and hope of the fear or reverence back to God would come. So it says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a person, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house. Well, he doesn't mean your neighbor. He means you. I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes and finds it empty and swept and put in order, it's nice. But it's not filled. It's not filled with the Spirit. This is where religious comes from. Religion. Religiosity is bondage. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall be with this wicked generation. A house divided does not stand. Why? Because when you are divided, your authority is taken in bondage. I'm going to say that again. When you are divided within you, your authority is taken in bondage. It's wrapped by demonic forces. Your man, your spirit man, your soul is in bondage. They have tied you up so that you can't correspond or cooperate with the will of God. That is the first sign of a house divided. What's the first sign? You do everything you can to forsake fellowship. Every excuse available. You want to not come into the house of God because you just find every excuse. I got to work. I got to pay my bills. I got to wash the car. I got to wash the dog. I got to plunge the toilet. It is the first sign of a divided house. No desire. What is the... Why? Priorities are taken out. The love of God's house is now not first. The love of self has replaced it. You mean I have a demon? Yes. It's a spirit of division. Can I get rid of it? Of course you can. You repent and get rid of it yourself. If you have to look in the mirror, look at yourself, look in your eyes, cast the stupid thing out. Take authority. It is the first sign of a divided house. No desire to abide in the house. Make every excuse. Priority has fallen. No more participation or lack of it. And looks for offense. Always looks for offense, not together. That is a spirit in a person. And let me tell you, it's associated friend. They shake hands. Hi, I'm Mr. and Mrs. Religious Spirit. Hi, I'm the spirit of division. They associate one another. Why? Because the religious spirit is pride and fear. Go to Numbers 18. Hallelujah. You want the truth, right? Okay. Well, the spirit always gives us truth. That's why it's called the spirit of truth. Oh, it's my dog's birthday. I can't go to the house tonight. Hallelujah. Every kind of excuse possible. And if they can't find one, I call someone for one. What do you think? You got any excuse for me tonight? Don't you have a flat tire or something? Well, cut your tire then. I'm telling you, people get goofy. Numbers 18, in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear the iniquity related to the sanctuary. And you and your sons with you shall bear the iniquity associated with your priesthood. Also bring with you your brethren of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may be joined with you and serve you while you and your sons are with you before the what? Tabernacle of meeting. Why? Because God meets us. He meets us. His spirit meets us. Look, this is not some dude up here preaching to you. I'm not a preacher. I'm a witness. I'm going to declare the truth. I'm just a messenger. And I'm going to let go of the message that I hear from my father. Because I don't care about pleasing man. Why? Because he's in front of me. I'm standing in front of my creator all the time. And when we learn to stand before the creator all the time, you won't give a hoot. The only thing you want to do is share what he wants. Is everybody all right? And it says, and they shall attend to your needs and all the needs of the tabernacle, but they shall not come near the articles of the sanctuary and the altar, lest they die. They and you also. They shall be joined with you and attend to the needs of the tabernacle of meeting for all the work of the tabernacle. But an outsider shall not come near you, and you shall attend to the duties of the sanctuary and the duties of the altar, that there may be no more wrath on the children of Israel. He said wrath. Do you know that lack of fellowship will open the door to the enemy? Three things Jesus required that we abide. He said, abide in my presence through worship. You know how many, there are so many who can't worship that are frozen chosen. They look like a car just truck stopped in front of them and turned the lights on. The frozen chosen, we've been chosen to be hot, not cold. One of the greatest things that you can show God that you are grateful is to worship him. It's amazing. People go to a football game and scream and come home, I can't talk. I can't talk. They'll come to church and go, but they'll watch that pigskin fly back and forth. Or go boom, 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 boom. But man, they get to church, man, they just shut up. That's the spirit. They're at ease now. See, this is at ease. That's in a military stance. It's called passive. Things are taken by force. Force. How do you force? You force into the spirit realm. You attack how worship. Because what you sow out of your mouth is what you eat. And what you eat is what you become. So we see here, this is a place of meeting. Listen, people don't grow any further until they start abiding in God's presence through worship, his word through prayer, and the house of God in assembling. Any of those are broke, there's openness. Always has been. Some people just don't get it, and they refuse to get it. And they'll stay stagnant, and they won't grow. They'll stay prideful and never grow. They'll get a little inchy, binchy. How many of y'all want all everything that God paid for you? I want it all. I want it all. 2 Peter chapter 2. It is the meeting place. We are to be supporters for the house of God. We're also to be protectors to the house of God. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2. Sorry. Is my writing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Is everybody there? Oh, come on. It's only a few Peters away. Whew, is it hot in here again? No. I'm not going to touch nothing. It's not for you. Okay, beautiful. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read it. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn believers, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, that you may grow thereby, that you may grow. What's he saying? Man, abide, or you're not going to grow. How many of all realize that abiding in the house of God, you've grown? If you haven't, you're lying. Come on, how many of all grown in the house of God? Lift your hands. Okay. That's why we come, right? This ain't a Bible study. This is a training session. We have enough Bible studies. We need some training for reigning. Hallelujah. Verse 3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God. How many of y'all know you're chosen by God? And you're precious. So why wouldn't you want to be near him? You also, as living stones, are being built up a what? A spiritual house. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus. You know what a spiritual sacrifice is? That's not killing anything. Actually, it's killing yourself because you got to deny yourself to worship. Your spiritual sacrifice is what comes out of your mouth. See, your lips are now the altar. Because we're the temple, your lips are now the altar. Your mouth is the altar of God. And what you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. You are attacking the powers of darkness through what comes out of your mouth. Or you're attacking yourself. Your spiritual sacrifice is worship. Worship. See, because if you really love him, you worship him. It doesn't mean you just bow down before him. It means you worship him. You exalt him. That's what they were doing ministering to the Lord. If you really love him, if you really know who he is, you worship him because of who he is. You know him. Other than that, you don't know him. You got long-distance relationship. You write letters to him. God wants his children close now because things are about to happen. It's time to get close. You've never gotten close before. Or the enemy is getting stronger. The further you're away from the Lord, the more you're going to make mistakes and fall. Therefore, in verse 6, it is also contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, which means follow, the word means follow, believe means what? Follow. So if you say you're a believer and not a follower, you're a liar. Well, I believe in Jesus. No, I don't follow. I got my own. I don't believe in organized religion or whatever. It's a bummer. God can't trust you. People have their own doctrines and all kinds of goofy things. Let me tell you, when I had my visitation with the Lord, the first thing he said to me is, my word is true. So if you want to know if this Bible is true and you're not reading it, I'm going to tell you God Almighty, who visited me and healed me and delivered me and freed me, filled with me the Holy Spirit, brought me to the other side, said, this is my word. That's why I'm so zealous for this word. I believe in a word, but there's another word that I believe in even stronger, and that's his voice. Verse 7, therefore, to you who follow, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being what? Disobedient to the word. Let me tell you, people that don't even know the word. They come to service, they listen to the dude speaking or the woman speaking. Then they leave. No notes, no nothing, no intent to teach, no intent to share with their children, no nothing. What kind of example is that? That's why our children go astray. That's why I was astray. My parents would go to church on Christmas and Thanksgiving. Of course, nobody ever brought any notes home or anything. Of course, when you went there, there wasn't really any notes to take. Suppose I can play dominoes better than you. Pass the bucket, couple genuflex, back flip, and you're out of there. Anyways, verse 9. Hallelujah. Would you read it with me? But you are a what? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the what? The praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were boneheads and idiots and people lost and deceived. Lost is living outside of salvation's truth. But now you are the people of God. And you have had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Oh, hallelujah. Spiritual house. That is the inner house. See, we must turn our house into His house. You know, the reality is if we knew He was next to us all the time, if I could walk with Jesus hand to hand. I always ask Him, Lord, let me walk with you hand to hand, cheek to cheek, and heart to heart. I want to walk with Him. I want Him before. I want, you know. If He's always there. See, if you're not acknowledging that He's there, then you're distant. Then you're distant. That's not relationship. Relationship is always to know that He is right here, that you're in communication with Him. And it's not a one-way conversation. You don't tell God how to do it. You're waiting for a next command. You're waiting for the leading and the unction of the Holy Spirit. We are watching to see and waiting to hear. Is everybody okay? Praise God. What's the first sign of a divided house? Amen. Priority has fallen. The love of house is compromised. So your first sign of a divided house is the love of God's house is compromised. Okay? Make it simple. Matthew 7:24. Let's start 21. Matthew 7:21. Would you read it with me? Come on, everybody, read this with me. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Hey, no, if somebody says to Jesus, Lord, Lord, you think they might know Him? Hey, or they might have known Him. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoa. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now, that's a phenomenal statement. That's it, plain simple. So if you're doing the will of the Father, you have access to heaven. So that just nullifies once saved, always saved. How can you expect to get into heaven if you're still fornicating, lying, cheating? You won't. But I accepted Jesus 20 years ago. You've been writing letters for 20 years? Who you serve when you die is where you go. Whether you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior or not. It says, he who willfully sins breaks covenant and there's no more covering. Hebrews 10:26. That's what it is. Until you what? Repent and come back in and under the blood. Other than that, we're lost. I speak to many people. Well, they'd be talking to me about something. I said, well, have you repented lately? No, man, I don't sin. You just did. You lied. You just did. It said the wages of sin is what? Death. Death. Death is separation from God. All right. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord. And the Lord, and didn't we not prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And didn't we do many works in your name? And Jesus said, yeah, man, you did. But I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me because you practice lawlessness. Just because you use my name. So you got spirit-filled. Okay, cool. You got baptized in the Holy Ghost, but you chose to touch and associate with evil. So you used me for your gain. I've seen many people out there using their gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, because they're not theirs, for gaining of money. And they're going to be those that are going to stand just like this to build their own empires. He said, I never knew you because you practice lawlessness. You fornicate, you lie, you cheat, you commit, you associate and promote and practice the works of the flesh. Therefore, verse 24, would you read it with me? Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. In other words, they were solid, unmovable, stable. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Listen, when you plant a seed and you see it grow a little bit and you water it, right? Okay, so you may have forgotten it. Oh, man, you know what? I forgot. Go out there and the thing's you know, crisp from the sun, dried up because of whatever. It got stolen. It got burned. That's what happens with us, with the seed, the word. See, a lot of people know the truth, but they don't practice the truth. There's people I know that can memorize the Bible from cover to cover, and they're going to be preaching it in hell. You know, there's a lot of believers in hell. Not one in hell now is an unbeliever. Everyone in hell now is a believer. Unfortunately, it's too late. But there are many who know the word, but choose not to practice, choose not to protect the house, choose not to stay filled with the Spirit. They choose their will over the will of God, and they will progress no further. In fact, they end up going backwards. They are listeners and not hearers. The second sign of a divided house is rebellion. Rebellion, a house divided. They always promote rebellion. They rebel against anything that God wants to do. They reject it. Why? Because they're more in promotion of their own will than God's will. See, they reject counsel from the Lord. How many of y'all know the Spirit of God gives you counsel every day? He is the Spirit of counsel. They shrug him off. Nah. That's a house divided. And if that house is divided here, it will parallel with your relationship with the house of God here. Proverbs 23:24. We are what? Spiritual house. Everyone say spiritual house. We're not, we're a physical arena here, but we are a spiritual house. That's the name of the teaching, spiritual house, just in case. Proverbs 24, verse 1. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. Hello? Why? Associations bring impartations. Associations bring what? Impartations. Did you notice that many people who are walking in a house divided, they hang with one another? They all associate with one. Hi. There's Mr. and Mrs. Religion, Division. They're all associated with the house divided. For their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. Now look at verse 3. Read it with me. Through wisdom, a house is what? Through what? Wisdom. Wisdom. I'm not talking carnal wisdom. I'm talking wisdom from the throne room of God. Through wisdom, a house is built. So you're going to need some wisdom, aren't you? And by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches. So we got wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because you reject my knowledge, I will reject your children. That's why many of our children have gone astray. I was one. Because my parents rejected the knowledge of God. They rejected the call of God. And I went astray. I had to go through hell to get to heaven. Hallelujah. The third sign is the lack of wisdom and discernment. When a house is divided, that person doesn't make right decisions. Why? Because there's not trust in God. Oh, they say they trust, but they really don't. Because in that arena, there's wisdom that tells us what to do. Lack of discernment, and they actually are blinded. There's a blindness. There's a veil that comes over them. They can only see so far, not long distance. They're short-sighted. Psalm 101. Hallelujah. Psalm 101. It's in verse 1. What does it say? I will what? I will what? I will sing. God don't sound care if you sound like a cow. So when somebody's singing next to you and they're howling, don't worry about it. God likes it just because you don't. They're sowing in the Spirit, man. Let them sow. You know, you can always just move away or put an earplug in or something. Or howl with them. The heck. I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk, what? Within my house with a what? A perfect heart. That's one that's set towards him. You know, Daniel had a visitation from the Lord, from the angel. And the angel showed up and he says, from the moment that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself, all of heaven heard you. Oh, it's glory. From the moment you set your heart to understand, see, that's a desire to want to know the things of God. And to humble yourself, heaven heard you. Yeah. Walking into the house with a pure heart. One of the fourth signs. Let me go finish this here. Verse 4. A perverse heart shall depart from me. Oh, wait a minute. Verse 3 again. I will set nothing. We didn't even go there, did we? Okay. Let's start at verse 2. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. You know, things that you know cause people to stumble. Man, don't set it before your eyes. Walk away. Listen, if you're lusting after someone and the enemy's causing you to lust after something or desire something, man, if it's a sister or a brother or whatever, just, man, start praying for them. The enemy uses something. Oh, man, look at that girl. Hey, look at that. There's nothing wrong with a beautiful woman or a very handsome guy. Praise God. That's wonderful. But don't lust after it. When it goes beyond that, then you bless them. Lord, I bless that person. I just pray for them. You start praying for the person, the devil will back off. Man, I can't. People, I cast all that thought of imagination. They're going crazy, and it's still there. Man, just bless that person. Lord, I bless my sister. I bless my brother. I bless them. Fill them with your spirit, Lord. Deliver them. Use them mightily. And the devil back right off. Hallelujah. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the works of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Yes. So the fourth thing is a hardened heart. And many people become bitter and hardened. It's the fourth sign of a divided house. Hardened heart. Proverbs 15. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Proverbs 15. Yes, sweet. Is everybody there? Verse 24, 15, 24. The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. Verse 25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes bones healthy. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instructions despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Before honor is humility. Spiritual house. I'm going to close here because I'm only halfway done. Part two. Praise God. Did you get some of this? Listen, we are entering such critical times. It is so time to be closer to the Lord. It is so time to get cleaned up, filled up, and prepared. If you're not in this word, get in. If you're far from the Lord and having a long-distance relationship, ask for forgiveness. If you've touched those things that are unclean, repent. And if you don't know the Lord, it's time to get to know him. It's real simple. You take some time, you go sit somewhere, you talk to Jesus, you ask for forgiveness, dedicate your life to him, and it's over with. Now follow him. Get him plugged in, though. Plugged in the house of God. Plugged in the house of God. Be zealous for the house of God. Protect the house of God. Support the house of God. It's a place of training. And if you're not trained, if you're not in a place that's not training, you get out and find a place that is. This is no time for religion. This is time for relationship. We need to be filled and armed and dangerous. Even the word tells us that those who know me, signs will follow them. They'll cast out devils. They'll have dominion. They'll lay hands on the sick. They'll speak with new tongues. We're to be the sign and wonder. Why? Because we're to be the house of God, the spiritual house. We are. Don't let the dictates of the world and the troubles of the world and all the other garbage influence your decisions according to the will of God. You know, God will bless his people in troublesome time. And there's troublesome times around the corner. It's almost an arm stretch away. They're around the corner. Well, as the Bible said, when they say peace, 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 then what? Sudden destruction. Our own country has turned against its own people. Does everybody understand what's going on? If you haven't seen or you're blinded, it's time for you to get your eyes open. It's time for you to learn. We have a website called eternallibrary.org. You can go on there and learn all kinds of stuff. There's over 1,000 teachings and videos, and there's courses and all kinds of things. It's free. Go there and learn. Because if you don't learn, you're going to burn. Amen? Praise God. Please prepare your hearts for communion, and you can bring your tithes and offerings up. So, Lord, we just want to say thank you for your mercies and grace, and I pray that this seed that has been imparted, restore in the area of a thirst and hunger for your presence, for your will, and for your house, and that you'll gather those houses that have been divided and make them unified with your spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.